This recording comes from the Medical Recording Service of the College of General Practitioners of the United Kingdom. Fungus infections. The speaker is Dr. I.B. Snedden, consultant dermatologist at Sheffield. Recorded and edited by Dr. John and Dr. Valerie Graves. Copyright reserved. Dr. Snedden.
With the discovery of specific antibiotics, such as Griseofulvin, which have lethal effects on fungi, accurate diagnosis of fungus infections has become more important. But before employing an expensive antibiotic, the diagnosis must be confirmed by at least the finding of fungus mycelium in specimens of skin, hair, or nails, and preferably by culture of the fungus in the laboratory. However, most fungus infections do not need these expensive remedies, and it is possible to make a pretty accurate clinical diagnosis. Confirmation by the finding of fungus mycelium is well within the scope of anyone who possesses a microscope. By far the most common fungus infection is Tinea pedis, or athlete's foot, and it's becoming even more common. The reason for its increased incidence is that the fungus flourishes in warmth and wet, and there has been a tremendous growth of communal bathing in swimming pools, pithead baths, schools, and hotels. An infected person will scatter spores and mycelium on the floor, which will be picked up by the next person. At present, no satisfactory fungicide can be applied to floors to prevent such spread. Tinea pedis appears in two main forms: sodden, macerated skin in the toe clefts with painful fissures, which may become secondarily infected. This is perhaps the most frequent. Attacks start in hot weather, particularly after exercise, and even in the winter if people are wearing rubber boots for long periods. The other variety is an eczematous vesicular eruption, which begins first on the instep and spreads along the foot to the toes. This condition starts on one foot first and usually affects one foot more than the other. Slide 1 shows the eczematous type of Tinea pedis occurring in its favorite site, the instep. It also may be secondarily infected, and in the area where I work, lymphangitis and lymphadenitis is the condition which most often complicates Tinea pedis. There are two conditions which may be confused with Tinea pedis. Firstly, maceration of the toe clefts occurs with excessive sweating of the feet due to constitutional hyperhidrosis, and many coal miners are drawing injury benefit for so-called epidermophytosis when all they have is sweaty feet. Secondly, contact dermatitis to shoes is a common condition, and a vesicular eruption which affects both feet equally is more likely to be shoe dermatitis than a fungus infection. Slide 2 shows contact dermatitis due to shoes affecting mainly the tops of the feet, and you'll note that it's exactly symmetrical. There has been a growing awareness in recent years of a third variety of Tinea pedis, which can be easily overlooked, since the only visible sign may be a slight red-blue colour of the skin of the sole and toes, and a very mild increase of branny scaling. No vesicles or fissures are present. This slow, smouldering infection is caused by an organism, Trichophyton rubrum, which can be found readily in skin scales and which also often affects the toenails. Slide 3 shows the dry, crumbling change which occurs in the toenails affected by Trichophyton rubrum. Although not always practicable, it is better to confirm the diagnosis by finding a fungus, since the treatment of an ordinary eczema with fungicides will be harmful. Confirmation can be carried out by taking the top of a blister or a portion of macerated skin from between the toes, and the skin is mounted on a slide in a solution of potassium hydroxide, 15%. The slide should be gently warmed for a few minutes and then examined under the two-thirds lens of a microscope, and probably the branching hyphae of fungus growth can be distinguished from the epidermal cell outlines. Slide 4 shows mycelium, not as you will see it in Lycopotassae, because it has been stained to show you the thread-like fibers of hyphae. A certain amount of experience is necessary to differentiate fungus mycelium from other extraneous strands, such as wool and cotton. If it's not possible to examine directly specimens of skin, they can be kept dry, either between two slides, or wrapped in a twist of paper and sent to a laboratory for examination and culture. A delay of some days will not prevent cultures from becoming positive, since the fungus spores remain viable for many weeks at room temperature. The treatment of severe and secondarily infected Tinea pedis requires expert nursing care. The patient should be in bed, and the keynote of nursing care is the removal of dead skin and the opening up of blisters so that the fungus can be killed off. I prefer gauze dressing soaked in Eucil, care being taken to separate each toe by layers of gauze. The Eucil controls secondary infection, it's clean to use, and doesn't sensitize the skin. Strong fungicides are not necessary if there is an intense inflammation. Secondary infection can be dealt with by systemic sulfonamides or tetracycline. Penicillin should not be used, as it often aggravates the infection because it's antigenically closely related to the pathogenic fungi. A generalized allergic reaction to severe fungus infection often occurs on the hands and even the whole body. This may take the form of an eczematous eruption or a bullous eruption like erythema multiforme. Slide 5 shows an EED reaction, the same patient as slide number 1, the fungus being active on the feet and producing this rather pityriasis rosea-like rash on the arms. Such secondary sensitization eruptions, called EED reactions, can be treated by applications of calamine lotion. If the primary site of infection is dealt with, they will subside in 10 to 14 days. The more usual toe cleft maceration can best be treated by painting with magenta paint BPC after previous removal of dead skin by rubbing with dry gauze. Some of the proprietary paints work as well as magenta paint, but none better. When the fissures have healed, relapses can be avoided by using a dusting powder regularly between the toes. I do not believe that the destruction of socks or sterilization of shoes is necessary in order to prevent recurrence. Tinea pedis does not respond well to Grisio fulvin, and there is no need to use it, with the exception of Trichophyton rubrum infections, which are resistant to all local remedies. Trichophyton rubrum infection of toenails even resists Grisio fulvin, and here, removal of the nail, followed by a course of Grisio fulvin, may be successful, though reinfection of the new nail does occur. Tinea cruris, or fungus infection of the groins, may be associated with Tinea pedis. Slide 6 shows the characteristic red spreading lesion of Tinea cruris extending down the thighs. The infection, which rarely affects women, can be spread from the feet to the groins and axillae on towels. The lesion starts in the fold of the groin as an irritable red and often vesicular spreading edge down the inner side of the thigh. Only occasionally does it spread to the scrotum. It may be troublesome in tropical climates, where involvement of the axillae as well as the groins is common. An infective intertrigo of the groins and natal cleft, which does also affect women, may be caused by Manilia or Candida infection. This yeast-like organism is normally present in the vagina and the gastrointestinal tract, but can become actively invasive under certain conditions. In diabetes, it is often the cause of pruritus vulvi and ani. Slide 7 is a violent manilial intertrigo involving the groins and vulva, and you will notice the test tube containing urine treated with Benedict's solution showing the positive test for glycosuria. In pregnancy, manilial vaginitis may extend to involve the perineum, and both in infancy and old age, intertrigo due to candida is common. Tinea cruris responds well to painting with Castellani's paint and a simple dusting powder. Another favorite remedy in cool climates is 0.25% dithranol in Lassar's paste, but this has to be used cautiously as it can produce an angry dermatitis. The paints such as magenta or gentian violet are also effective for manilia infections, though much cleaner and specific are nystatin ointment and pessaries. The most effective remedy in my hands is dequalinium, a quaternary ammonium antiseptic, which combined with prednisolone as an ointment is very effective in manilia intertrigo. Obviously, if diabetes is present, this must also be treated. Tinea corporis, or ringworm of the glabrous or hairless skin, is not a common disease. Occasionally, ringed lesions on the trunk may complicate trichophyton rubrum infection of the extremities, but the main cause of tinea on the trunk and limbs is infection from animals, and an occupational contact with animals must be sought. Slide 8, tinea corporis, the red discs occurring on the outer part of the thigh. And slide 9, again tinea corporis, showing very clear-cut red disc covered with small pustules. Those of you who work in rural areas will see a number due to the trichophyton which cause ringworm in cattle. This infection does spread to farm workers, though mainly to young ones, who thereafter have some resistance since second and third attacks of cattle ringworm in man are rare. Slide 10 is of a very severe cattle ringworm affecting the beard area in a farmer. Slide 11, another cattle ringworm showing the firm woody induration that occurs very often. They are not as painful as they look. In children, infection arises more often from domestic pets, such as kittens and puppies or white mice. The lesion of tinea cercinata begins as an erythematous papule which gradually enlarges with a red, sometimes vesicular edge. The center of the lesion tends to return to normal, though after some weeks a pustular reaction may appear over the whole inflamed disc. There is a great tendency to overdiagnose ringworm. Ringed lesions due to pityriasis rosea, psoriasis, and discoid eczema are far more likely, and since fungicides will make all these conditions worse, it pays to consider these before jumping to conclusions that a ringed lesion must necessarily be ringworm. Slide 12, the characteristic distribution of the oval lesions of pityriasis rosea. Slide 13, annular lesions of psoriasis, which could so easily be confused with tinea corporis. Slide 14, discoid patches of eczema, showing vesicles and crusting, but just as clear cut in their outline as ringworm infection. Untreated tinea corporis will clear spontaneously in 10 to 12 weeks, but Whitfield's ointment or Castellani's paint will speedily cure most cases. Another fungus infection of the trunk, which, though it causes little in the way of symptoms, may persist for years, is tinea versicolor. This is characterized by faint, fawn, scaly macules, usually on the upper part of the chest and shoulders. Slide 15 shows the little browny-red macules of Pityriasis versicola. The macules tend to run into one another, forming faintly discoloured sheets. It may simulate very closely the pigmentary disorder leucoderma or vitiligo, the normal skin looking like leucodermic areas. However, in coloured skin, or in the white person after sunburning, the macules affected by the disease are whiter than normal, since the diseased skin does not pigment so well. Slide 16 shows Pityriasis versicola in a coloured patient. The infected parts of the skin are showing whiter than his normal coloured skin. The diagnosis can be made very easily by examination of skin scrapings from the affected skin. It is the easiest fungus to find, though it cannot be cultured in the laboratory. Unlike the usual trichophyton mycelium, the organism which causes tinea versicolor forms short, curved fragments and groups of spores which look like bunches of grapes. The response to treatment with Whitfield's ointment is good, but relapses are common. Ringworm of the scalp used to be a big problem, but since the coming of Grisio fulvin, it can be cured readily in a few weeks. In recent years, there has been a spontaneous decline in the number of cases, but it is important to be able to recognize the condition, since cases which are missed may give rise to epidemics. Children below the age of puberty are usually affected by microsporin infections. These are of two kinds, Microsporin canis, which affects animals such as puppies and kittens, and they act as a reservoir of infection, and Microsporin arduini, which only affects children and spreads from child to child. Although there are clinical features which make distinction between the two types possible to the expert, the majority of us depend on culture for diagnosis of the type of Microsporin. The earliest signs of infection are a faint scaling of the scalp with one or two broken hairs. Rarely will you be able to see a ring of scales, and ringworm should be thought of if any group of hairs appears dry, lifeless, and broken. Examination of the scalp in the dark by means of a Wood's light, this is ultraviolet light passed through nickel oxide glass, will reveal bright green fluorescence of hairs affected by the spores of Microsporin. And it's quite possible to find one infected hair in a child's scalp in 30 seconds, and this method is used for searching for infections in schools. Fluorescent hairs, if detected, can be removed for culture. Although tinea capitis can appear so insidiously, a violent inflammatory reaction which leads to scarring may also occur. Such infections, called Kerions, are due to the fungus and not to secondary infection with pyogenic bacteria, and can be controlled better since we have had Grisio fulvin. Ringworm of the scalp in adults is caused by trichophyton infections, and because the hairs do not fluoresce, it's difficult to diagnose. The hairs are often broken off at scalp level, giving rise to a black dot effect. And diagnosis depends on culture of infected stumps, though more recently, culture from hair brushes has been more rewarding. Favus, a specific type of fungus infection of the scalp, which has almost died out in the British Isles, is still common in the Middle East and other parts of the world, and may be seen in immigrants. This appears as a combination of yellowish crusts which destroy hair follicles, leaving a scarred type of baldness. It should be considered as a diagnosis if dealing with scarred baldness, and particularly if it affects more than one member of the family. Treatment of ringworm of the scalp, whatever the organism, is by Grisio Fulvin. For young children, 0.25 of a gram, older children, 0.375 of a gram, and adults, 1 gram daily for 4 weeks. A daily application of some substance, such as Whitfield's ointment, will prevent spread to other people, and infected hairs should be clipped after 3 weeks' treatment. Ringworm of the nails has been mentioned when talking about tinea pedis, but it can occur without apparent involvement of the skin. The nail plate of either finger or toe becomes discolored and friable until in severe cases it may be almost completely destroyed. Slide 17 shows a thumbnail affected by fungus infection with gross destruction of the peripheral part of the nail and ridging. Sometimes I find it difficult on clinical grounds alone to distinguish tinea of the nails from psoriasis of the nails, which may also occur without any skin lesions, but usually psoriasis shows pitting, which is quite characteristic. Microscopic examination of the nail and culture may be necessary and should certainly be done before treatment is started. Fingernails infected even by Trichophyton rubrum can be cleared by systemic Grisio Fulvin, but treatment has to be continued for 6 months. The treatment of toenails is not so successful, and I have seen toe infections relapse even while treatment is maintained. Probably the most reliable way of tackling the problem is to avulse the affected nails and then give Grisio Fulvin. Even this rather bestial form of treatment may not be worthwhile if reinfection occurs frequently. As yet, there is no reliable information on the relapse rate, and I myself do not advocate nail removal often. Tinea of the nail plate itself must be distinguished from a far more common ailment, chronic paronychia. This is a disease of housewives, washerwomen, fishmongers, and barmaids. The common factor is immersion of the hands in water so that the cuticle becomes sodden and easily damaged. Once injured, infection with manilia maintains the inflammation, which appears as a red, tender swelling of the nail fold. It is a grave error to diagnose this as a pyogenic infection and carry out some surgical procedure. Slide 18 shows chronic paronychia due to manilial infection attacking all the nail folds, and the discoloration of the nails is due to an associated pyocyanus infection. The patient should be instructed to keep the hands dry. It can be done with cotton gloves and rubber gloves over the top, dequilone prednisolone ointment rubbed into the nail folds 3 times a day works better in my hands than nystatin ointment, which in theory should be a specific. These cases can be cleared quite quickly, but only if the patient will cooperate fully. I have no time to deal with the systemic fungus infections, which are exceedingly rare in this country, and I have also excluded the more unusual tropical infections. But I hope that you will find these remarks of practical help.
We should like to thank Smith, Klein and French Laboratories Limited for their generosity in paying for the cost of this recording. This recording was produced by the Medical Recording Service of the College of General Practitioners of the United Kingdom.